we know we're not going to win. We know we're not anything even real competitive right now, but that's the fun of just showing up and spending a day on the mountain.
These are swim run adventures for us.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 136 of the show. This week's episode, we catch up with Rick Mann and Chris Corbett, aka Team Weeby Family. We've been following Rick's endurance exploits on Strava for years, and when we learned that he was racing this year's Attila Engadin with his niece Chris, we were like, hey, we want to hear
perfect
this
opportunity
story
to make it happen.
We've been wanting to get him on the show for a while. We figured we might as well get a race report for an adventure that is high on our, you know, long bucket list. Anyway, it was a great conversation of their epic challenge in the Swiss mountains. Good stuff.
Yes. But first, training update. So we know, me and Chris, we were counting. We're like, it's been almost a month of just Chipper and Chris shows. No interviews for you all. So it's been a while since we had a quote-unquote regular show. But if you're a regular listener or you listen with any frequency at all, you probably know.
What's going on?
September 5th, we're going to be doing Attila, the Swimmer World Championship in Sweden. So we've been putting in the work and have a couple more weeks of building before the taper begins. So we got long swims, long runs, and long swim runs in our future.
Long.
And in the rearview mirror as well.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
There's long stuff.
It's surrounding us. Now for this week's shout outs. Not this week, this like past month's worth of shout outs. Yeah.
So we have to shout out our newest patrons on Patreon. A big, big thank you to Michael Geidker, Tracy Sesselberg, Sarah Estrella, and Chris Wright for your support. We really appreciate it. And for all you Patreons, or for all our Patreons and Patreon listening right now, stay tuned for something special in your mailbox as a token of our thanks to you.
Yes.
Good stuff coming your way. As soon as I can get around to mailing it, which I promise to do this week.
Whenever you can.
Full confessional.
So now for this week's feats of endurance. So this week's winner is Victor Rosario. Victor not only posted multiple Strava workouts from Puerto Rico, ding, 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 all
instant
automatic,
winner.
instant winner, but his workouts were literally in Chris's hometown of San Juan and near his ancestral neighbor. Hood of Oak, Ocean Park. Yeah. Ocean Park. Is that near Ocean Avenue?
No.
No, okay. Well, in any case, make sure to join the Low Tide Boys Strava Club and join fellow swim runners there from around the world as they train for stuff and swim runs. I've been loving going in and doling out some kudos and also receiving.
Yeah.
Some kudos.
There's a lot of big
swims, big runs out there for everybody. Oof. So,
for sure.
Now, for everyone's favorite segment, I'm going to kick it on over to Chris at the news desk for this week in swim run.
All right, welcome to the LPBT news desk. We're keeping it short this week because we've been on vacation. So, you know, guess that's as good a reason as any.
Enough.
So since we last had a This Week in Swim Run, Attila Engadin and Attila Gothenburg took place. Both races looked amazing, challenging, epic, keeping true to their 2022 world-class form. Hugo and Max won both events and are primed for great things at the World Championships next month. Also true to form, and in this, you know, person's opinion, adding further evidence that she is the greatest swim runner of her generation. Desiree won the women's division in Engadin with her partner, Amanda Nielsen, and then won the mixed division in Gothenburg with her partner, Alex Berggren. They were also second overall, and that was despite having a pretty wicked fall and face plant on one of the rocks during the many transitions, which you'll be hearing about in a second.
Yes.
But
greatness.
Yeah. Look,
a lot of greatness out there.
Speaking of Attila Gothenburg, our friends Marcus Barton and Kavika Tariao, a.k.a. Team Anvil Spamfika, were at the event, and they finished in a stellar 10th overall and 6th place men's team. So we were like, all right, basically Team USA representing. We asked them to share with us their adventure. So here's a special bonus race report about their epic day. spoiler alert, it's also a mini masterclass on tactics for navigating such a transition heavy race.
Yes, take it away, Marcus and Beek. Spamfika.
Anvil.
Team.
Hey guys, it's Marcus
and Kavika,
Team Invol Spamfika.
And we're here to give our 2022 OTO Swim Run Gothenburg race report.
OTO, you say it so well. Say it so well. so we went to the race, and I want to start off by just saying that as soon as we got off the ferry and walking into the expo and the area and seeing the finish line and all the check-in, the OTO events are just amazing. They have a flavor to them that I think is very, very unique. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is where Swim Run was born. But also, I think, Kavika, you said something about the numbers of racers that we have at these events. And also the quality of the racers. There's some really fast swim runners over here, as you guys know.
Yes, when you're drawing from all of the top swim runners in Europe, which, I mean, most of the best swim runners in the world right now come from, you know, France and Sweden mostly. And when you're drawing from those crowds, you'll get some of the top racers, and you get some really good competition. And if you want to be competitive, you really have to have your game dialed in. And you can see that right when you get to, you know, the start of the race, that everybody has their game faces on and they're ready to go.
Oh my God, that was intense. That was intense going into the start shoot with all those game faces. That was pretty intense.
Yeah,
I think I went into this race with low expectations because of that. You know, I know that over in the U.S., we do pretty good over there. But coming over here with the guys that, and gals that are racing over here and they're so fast, it's like, as a stretch goal, I would like to be in the top 10 at this race. And there was other factors involved with, you know, jet lag and those kind of things, but just knowing where we were at with our fitness and what we were up against as far as competition, we were definitely shooting for, as a stretch goal, to be in the top 10. So we got up on the start line and we got up front with all those game faces. And yeah.
It's really interesting, you know, at some of our US races, we'll walk up to the start of the starting box, the front of it, of the line, you know, just so we can get out in front. Here, you know, as like people start lining up, we'll stand in probably the second row. And then in the last like couple minutes, you'll see all of the podium potential athletes walking up through the crowd and getting right up on the start, because everyone knows who they are. And you're like, yep, you go ahead, stand in front of me.
Go right ahead.
we'll be just trying to keep you within our sights, if that's even at all possible.
Yep. So we did the race, before the race started, they had announced, and we kind of found out on the ferry, just as we were getting off of the ferry, that the World Series course had been modified. And so Kavika and I had this whole game plan with our nutrition and fluid and whatnot. And we immediately, as soon as we got off the boat, had to start making adjustments so that the race was changed to where we did two laps of the sprint course, which turned it into, what was it, 32 swims and 33 runs? Or
yes, 32 islands, basically.
Yeah, or 33 swims and 34 runs, something like that. Anyway, it was a bunch. So we knew going into this that it was going to already, before they changed the course, that it was going to be a transition fest. And that's exactly what it was. So they actually intensified it by making us do two laps of the sprint course.
Yeah. And with the World Series course, the original one, because there's only with that many islands, you know that most of the runs are short and they're on very technical terrain. So we had it dialed in where we knew exactly which islands we had to take our nutrition, because there's no way you're going to do nutrition on a, you know, a 200 meter wide island that's super technical rock, being able to unzip, pull out your gel, eat it, and then put it back in and zip up before the next swim. So we had our game plan like nailed down. And then what ended up happening is that with the two loops around the sprint course, and it being now 33 islands or whatnot, a lot of those islands were those short technical ones. So it was very difficult to try to plan out, okay, when is the island that we're going to be able to take those gels that will have enough time before we have to jump in the water? And when you're out there, you know, we're not writing down the distances of every single island, and you're trying to remember, like, pull it back in your memory, thinking, oh, was this the island that we have enough time to take the gel? Or is this a really short one? As soon as we come over this, like, clearing, it's going to be, like, right back into the water. So, yeah, we had to kind of learn and adjust on the fly.
Yeah. So starting gun went off. The start line chute went out like a bat out of hell, and we immediately started climbing a hill. And we had to do two laps of this hill before we went into technical single track. And that was designed to spread folks out. It was mandatory that we couldn't use our tether on that first run because we would all get all tangled up. But that right away, you know, has your heart rate all jacked up and you're going anaerobic pretty quick. We got off into single technical track, technical single track, and the race was on. And it was a big crowd of people in a single file line, you know, running across the rocks and jumping into the water. It was an interesting course. And then once we got to what swim was it that we could see, or what run was it that we could see all the way across?
It was the fourth island, so it was right before the
fourth swim. So we're on our third run, running along the edge of the island, and we could see the fourth swim from up above, and we could also see the next island across the way. And so we hadn't even made it to the swim, and we could see a group of what appeared to me to be like, you know, 10 teams already on the island, running across the island. And my heart kind of sank for a second. It's like, oh my God, they have such a lead on us. It's crazy.
Because we realize we're still like a minute or two from the water, and then you have to swim the 200 meters. You know, it's going to take you another 3 minutes plus transition, and then they're up cresting over that next island already.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of set a little bit of a tone, I think, and it felt what I believe is that we kind of settled into like the front of the mid pack or the second pack, with that pack out ahead of us with a big, big gap. Because for a lot of that first lap, we didn't see a ton of people ahead of us, and we didn't have a ton of people on our tail. We were kind of at the beginning of that second pack. And it was very, very technical, rocky running. We had to choose which runs that we were going to tether on and which ones that we didn't because of the tether getting in the way or getting caught up in trees during some of the trail running. And then also with the swims, because the water was choppy. We had, I think it was forecasted for 30 mile per hour wind gusts, and we definitely got some of that, which also, as a side note, made it a little bit difficult for us to communicate, because whoever's up front, you've got all this blowing wind in your face and in your ears and going around, swirling around your swim cap, that you really couldn't hear what the other person was saying. And so a lot of times we kept having to repeat ourselves and yell and whatnot to just for us, the two of us, to communicate. But I think we did pretty good on the first lap. We kind of got through that first lap of all those islands, 16 islands, 16 or 18 islands, 16 or 17 islands, whatever it was. I lost count. And we had a pretty good go. I think the one exception was on that first lap, there was an L-shaped swim that had a buoy that you had to go around. So you had to swim out to
two buoys that you had to swim in between.
Right. So like a goalpost, so like a red and a green buoy. So you had to swim in between them, and then you make a left-hand turn and head for the exit. And it was a swim that Kavika and I decided to not tether for. And so he's leading and I'm on his feet, and we ended up getting in a pack of with, I think there was a solo racer, and then there were like two other teams that we were swimming with. There was a mixed team that we were swimming with, and somehow, some way, I got on the right side of these teams and Kavika was on the left side. So that when we went around the buoy, he made a hard left and was headed for the exit. And I didn't see where the exit was. And I'm kind of following these other teams. I'm just kind of staying in this pack, thinking that Kavika's in this pack. And they keep going straight. They don't even make the turn. So here I am just following right along with them. And then I hear somebody yelling. And it's like, I wonder if that's Kavika. So I sit up and I look around, and I don't see Kavika, and I'm like, oh, he's got to be in this pack I'm following. So I put my head back down, and I keep swimming. And then I realized, like, something's not right, because I started sighting myself for an exit, and I didn't see it. And I looked over to the left, and I see the exit. So I make a left-hand turn, and that rest of that pack keeps going straight. But I eventually, like, Kavika sees that I'm heading in his direction, so he pops in, and we get back together. But that definitely cost us a couple of minutes in time, for sure. Two or three minutes at least.
When I made that hard left, I stopped and I sat up and I'm like, okay, I need to make sure that Marcus comes with me because I see these other guys starting to swim straight. And I started yelling his name. And then with every like additional 5 meters that he's pulling away from me and I'm just sitting there, I'm like yelling more and more frantically. And I'm just like, well, eventually he has to look up, and I don't want to swim to track him down because then I'm going to be swimming extra as well. But when he finally did turn, you know, then I could kind of like see where he was going, like basically skate to the puck and just pick him up along that line.
That's a great way of putting it, skate to the puck.
But what was interesting about doing the two laps is that, you know, we, just like in our previous races, we remained tethered for most of the race. On this one, it was no different that we started out tethered and that was our plan. And then we quickly realized that the most technical runs were the first, you know, 8 or 12 islands of that loop. And so after being tethered through that and realizing that it's pretty dangerous to do that, going up and down and being like pulled, by the tether on those runs, we decided, okay, we're going to untether for the rest of this loop, you know, just to be a little bit safer, and hopefully we can travel quicker because then each person can pick what line they think is best in the running. And so it was actually that buoy swim with the hard left where we got separated was the first swim that we had untethered on. So unfortunately that cost us 2 minutes because we just picked that time to do it. But what was interesting is that the second half of the loop was very conducive to being tethered. So on the first loop, you know, we did it exactly opposite. We tethered for the first half and then we untethered for the second. But being able to do that loop twice and learning things as you go, we were able to make the adjustment and remain untethered for the first half of the second loop and then tether back up again for the second half. And that ended up working really well for us.
Yeah. That was one of the benefits of it being a two loop course is that we learned what adjustments we needed to make on the first loop. We made those adjustments on the second one, and looking at our times, it looked like we kind of negative split that second loop by doing that. I think another very interesting part of the race that happened for us was it was the last eight swims. One of the good things about the second loop, let me back up. One of the good things about the second loop was that we started to see teams. So we would see a team, we'd pick them off and we'd pass them. And then we'd see another team and we'd pick them off and we'd pass them. And that was difficult because we were racing on that second loop amongst the sprint racers and some of the experienced racers and whatnot. And so it was a challenge for us to pick out the red caps, which was the color that we were amongst all these other racers out there. So we would see a team with red caps and it would give us a little bit of motivation to head towards them. So we'd pick that team off and then we'd go for the next one. And then we would find another one and we'd go with the next one. So we picked off quite a few teams on the second lap. Well, we also came up on, was it Joachim and Anders, the from Sweden?
Anders Lindberg and Joachim Pirani.
Pirani.
Yeah.
Yep. So we came up on these guys and we passed them in the water on that same L-shaped swim where I made the mistake on the first loop. And they tucked in behind us and was tapping my shoes. So they tucked into our draft. And these guys stuck right with us throughout the rest of the race. I mean, we were neck and neck. And there were times where they would pull up ahead of us and then we would pass them back and they would pull up ahead of us and they would pass them back. And they would draft off us in the swims. And then when I thought that we were making some headway and getting away from them by picking some real good lines in the technical course, they would catch back up to us. And in the last quarter mile of the race, so that happened for 8 swims and 8 runs.
And oh, a lot of those runs, some of them, they would just like park it right behind us and be like, okay, you guys set the pace. Like they were kind of like just waiting.
They were toying with us.
Exactly.
And when in the last quarter mile, or so of the race where it was, it would dump the from trail back on the pavement. These guys made a move and they passed us, and we didn't match it. And that's partly my fault. I don't think I had it that day to match the pace that they were running. And they finished ahead of us and they did an outstanding job. That was a lot of fun to race against those guys neck to neck like that for those last eight swims and runs.
Yeah. It's always great to go back and forth with the team throughout a course, you know, when you're around them for a good, you know, hour, seeing them, like seeing their shoes and then being in front of them and back and forth, it makes it the racing that much more exciting and enjoyable.
That's awesome. So I think that's pretty much it for the race report.
But I mean, overall, like Marcus said at the beginning, we had a kind of a stretch goal. It'd be great to be top 10, and ended up in sixth place men's. And we're super happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're 10th overall. So there was three mixed teams. And then, of course, the one female team with Desi and her team that finished the female ahead of us. So that put us in 10th overall and six men's team. So we're extremely pleased. All right, guys. I guess the next time we'll get to talk to you, we'll see you here, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe we'll talk to you again after Rockman. Yeah. Rockman is next for us and then Worlds.
All right. We'll see you guys in Sweden soon.
Later, guys.
Cheers.
Wow, 33, 34 transitions.
Craziness.
You're getting dizzy.
Craziness.
You're getting dizzy. So they must have, do you think they had backup paddles? Like, oh, I got to switch my second paddle. I got the rest of the course on here.
Yeah, I mean.
Luckily, the loop probably saved them on that front.
The loop helped, but interesting, you know, probably takes a lot for Atala to change a course at the last minute, but 30 mile an hour wins.
That's serious business.
Yeah, that seems like.
And reading through the Instagram race reports, a lot of people were commending Atala for making the smart and safe decision. They were saying it was crazy out there. At first, people were like, well, you know, kind of like humming and hawing about it. But then, like, when we went up to the, I think it was at the north end of the race course, they're like, oh, okay, we see why they did this, because it was crazy, crazy unsafe.
Some like Moby Dick type stuff.
Yes. So Marcus and Beek are off for they have their own European swim run tour. They're doing Thor's Rockman event. And then they are also doing Atilla, the Swimmer World Championship.
Yeah, just a few weeks later. No big deal for those guys.
No problem for those guys. So we will see them in early September in Stockholm.
Definitely. Thank you, Marcus and Beek, for sending us your race report. Love to see you guys kicking ass out there. That's it for this week. Feel free to reach out and let us know if there's anything that you'd like for us to mention on the show.
Yes. Now for this week's updates. So you're looking for the slickest and sickest and potentially maybe the only casual swim run gear out there? Well, guess what? We have a Low Tide Boys merch store. I don't know if anybody remembers or knows about, but we're bringing it up right now. So we have Low Tide Boys shirts, hats, beanies, et cetera, et cetera. Every order comes with, we got a bunch of new logo stickers and a bunch of stickers. We try to throw stuff in there. We'll even write you a handwritten thank you note because we care that you guys are supporting us and we really appreciate it. So not to brag or anything, but as a bonus, the merch may or may not have some supernatural powers.
It's true.
Case in point, our friend Sarah B has podiumed every single swim run that she's entered since buying her Low Tide Boy shirt.
Yeah.
You can't argue. Those are facts, people.
She's 2 for 2.
2 for 2. And those are cold, hard facts.
Yep.
Congrats, Sarah. And if you're like, oh, that sounds cool, how can I get a discount? Well, reference earlier in the show, join our Patreon. Pretty deep discounts for every tier level of support there. So we just like to spread the love and say thanks. So check out the merch store there.
Yeah.
But without any further ado, let's hear about Rick and Chris, Team We Be Family.
Yeah, it was really great to have them on the show. As you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've known Rick and Chris for a while and first met them in person at the inaugural Swim Run Austin event a few years back. And we asked them to come on after their recent Atala Engadin adventure. It was really cool to see a team from Florida and Dallas, respectively, a.k.a. pretty flat fucking places, to show up at one of the hardest and hilliest swim runs out there. And they were ready for the challenge. While they were literally the last finishers of the World Series distance, they had an awesome day and were stoked to share their firsthand account of a race that has been near and dear to our hearts since we started flooding Instagram with cow memes.
Yes, and but Toblerone chocolate memes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, and Chipper, I mean, I know that, like, if I got goosebumps, I know you did when they were talking about the finish line experience, even being the last place finishers, which is just, and you know, that's what makes Swimrun awesome.
I think the thing that I loved the most was that it didn't matter that they were the last ones. And it actually was even, that we don't want to spoil it for you, but there was an event that made it even more special there. But we did the top five tips for new swim runners. Mm-hmm. Have fun and just have the swim run mindset. And they totally embraced that the whole time and just had a great time out there. And that was my first question. What are a couple of flatlanders headed to the mountains for? Yeah. That was a head scratcher for me. But we had a great conversation with Rick and Chris, and we know you will love it too. So
let's get to it.
That's it. Let's get to it.
We be family.
What was that? Sly
and
the Fam.
All of my sisters and me. Well, that's, I just totally messed it up. It's We Are Family, so I just switched it to We Be Family.
Yeah. Who, Sly and the Family. Who sings that?
Sly and the Family
Stone. Sly and the Family Stone.
It's also in Sister Act.
Which one?
Whoopi Goldberg one.
Yeah. Okay, just one.
Not Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. I wasn't in that one.
There's a third of Sister Act, I believe.
Was there? I know Lauryn Hill, a very young Lauryn Hill, was in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. Lauryn Hill.
Okay. I better end this before
we're gonna
I
have a
continue.
Chat. We're about to have a chat.
Okay. We be family. You be enjoying it. See ya.
All right. Very happy to welcome We Be Family to the show. Chris Corbett and Rick Mann. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing good.
So we've been following you guys on Strava. Rick, you've done a bunch of swim runs. You're also like a very experienced triathlete. Same thing with you, Chris. How did you guys find Swim Run and then find each other? And then most importantly, which is the subject of this conversation, is what made you sign up for Engadin?
Well, we've got a history of searching out the extreme or the ultra type races. We've done Aaron Iceland and his
Icelandic
Alaska
man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Alaska man. Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, and we did the double iron together. We started out with just the single iron in Kentucky, and we just kept going from there.
You have the sickness. It sounds like the endurance.
Yeah, exactly. So looking for something different. I mean, once you did a double Ironman, you're kind of like going, what do we do now? And we heard about this Otello type racing and thought it was cool. And then the Costco Bay one was one of the first ones to be available here in the United States. And I think I speak for us both. That was our first long course. And it was I think still to this day, it was our favorite. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And so leading up to this race, we were looking at going to Switzerland. We wanted to do that trip, period, what we were going to do there. And the weekend before was the Austria Ironman, and the weekend after was the Switzerland Ironman. So we were looking at doing one of those races, and then we found, hey, we don't have to take our bikes. We can go swim run. So And that was Chris. She's the one that found this the swim run and said let's do that instead.
I mean,
wow.
So Chris, we got to hear. You know, obviously, it seemed like you were going to Switzerland anyway. But I mean, Engadin is probably one of the top three hardest races in the world.
And we should mention,
I'm not
that
sure if you knew that
they reside in Florida. And if you're not familiar with the terrain in Florida, it's like a pancake. There's not any hills to be seen.
Except for the bridges or something.
Yeah, the bridges are the big elevation. Inkadin's a mountain swim run, as they call it.
Well, let me just chime in. You asked the question of how we got together. And I don't know if everyone knows this, but Rick is my uncle. So I've known him since I was a little kid. He used to do triathlons when they weren't cool back in the 80s.
Yeah. So Chris, so it was like, was Rick kind of like the crazy uncle and was like, oh.
Ride his bike up to the family reunion, 60-mile ride.
it's funny you say that because, you know, he was into more of the shorter distances. He's always been an excellent swimmer. You know, he was a competitive swimmer back in the day. He did that. Where we got into the endurance actually was I randomly got a random idea that I wanted to do a half Ironman. So my first triathlon was a half Ironman. I called up Uncle Rick and I said, hey, let's do one. We picked one. We did Miami Man. And then that, if you know, it kind of was like, oh, well, we did a half. And so I did a full. I did the first full without him. He was like, no. He told me no.
I did Sounds my like second that doesn't full. Happen too often, though.
And then let me guess, it was his idea for the double Ironman, probably.
No, that was still mine, too.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay.
But his was the triple Ironman. I will give him that.
I mean, yeah, well, I think once you're doing double and triple Ironmans, I mean, there's just, you're really running out of things to motivate you.
So yeah, I think we go back and forth with who has good days in races. Some of us are stronger in the swim. Some of us are stronger on the bike. We'll let you guys figure that one out. But but we've had a lot of fun because sometimes it's been fun being a team. So I think that's the cool part about the swim run is that where these other races, yeah, we go to the race and compete individually. It's been really fun for us to get into this team concept and actually get to race together. And that's where the Weeby family name came from.
That's what a great point. I think that's one of the really cool things about Ironman is one thing that Chris and I both enjoyed about triathlons is getting a group of, you know, 6-8 people together and go rent a house and go everyone do the race together. But now you have an opportunity to have that same experience, but actually do the race together, not just race the same race. That must just be such a cool experience for you all to do. And did that kind of immediately attract you to swim run, or really kind of get the hooks in? Is that how you caught the swim run bug per se?
Well, we were really looking for something that would tax us or test us. And we're thinking, cause we never practiced it. We never trained it. We showed up in Maine the day before the race. We got in and swam once to get the tether length right. And then we did the long course there and we never stopped smiling that entire race. It was back when it was point to point. I mean, you ended up where you started. So it was just cool race, you know, bouldering and running through the swamp. And it was a rainy, kind of cool rainy day. And the ocean was flat and we just loved that. I mean, we were done at that point. We were hooked.
Nice.
And so, you know, but technical wise, compared to this one in Switzerland, the only thing we've done that's anywhere close to that is North Carolina. Now, I did Catalina, but it was 2 weeks before the triple, so we dropped and did the short distance, and that wasn't bad at all. But I understand Catalina, the long one, is a pretty tough race too.
It was an ordeal for us.
It's a beast in a race for sure.
It was an ordeal.
That
for
10K
sure.
up and over the island is sporty for sure. So well, so you guys are doing Engadin. What kind of training? Did you do any specific training? Did you listen to any super popular swim run podcasts that had course previews to help you get ready?
Okay, so we've had a pretty good history of swim runs. So we kind of probably went in there with a little more confidence than we should have. and you guys see my training. I did hill repeats on Beach Boulevard Intercoastal Bridge, which I did a half marathon on there, which took me 10 times over the bridge thinking I did something and realized I only went 600 feet of elevation. And Switzerland was over 4,000 feet. And you're talking about a 10K that took you over a mountain. We went over the freaking mountain several times.
Yeah.
But that was the cool part. You got so high up there. I mean, I've never been in a race where my ears popped during the race from the altitude change. But the first two or three times up the mountain were an adventure. We thought we were about done toward the end. and thought we were flats in swims to finish. And it was probably the hardest climb. The second to last run was probably the hardest climb we had. Now, maybe because we were already tired, but it seemed a whole lot steeper than the other ones.
Well, listen, let's back you up a little bit, because I want to hear the whole race story, because I love hearing race reports from people. But so let's start right from the beginning. You guys got on a plane, you go to Switzerland. How was sort of the pre-race bib pickup? Like, how was the vibe? How did it compare to Casco and races you've done in the U.S.?
Well, we were there, a week ahead of time? Well, we were there the Monday before the race following on Saturday. And Chris actually runs a business called Fit for Adventure, where she sets up these things where you can go do the Boston Marathon, or you can go do the Grand Canyon, or you can do different things where they set up the whole thing. Where you're staying, what you're seeing, what you're doing. You just show up and have fun. So that's why she gets to do our Alaska trip and our Iceland trip and the Switzerland trip, because we did. My wife and I, we show up at the airport. She's coming from Dallas. We're coming from Florida. We actually end up on the same airplane eventually to make the trip over there. And so we had a vacation leading up to the race. And so we did all these mountain trips and train trips and made it over to Italy for a while. And that kind of preoccupied you to the point where you're not thinking just race, you know, so that when race day came around, we ended up at the race site 2 days prior to the race. So we got to do some of the course. They had the flags up and everything 2 days prior. So we actually got to run on, unfortunately, the easy part of the course. And we're thinking, hey, yeah, this is pretty nice. Flat runs and calm swims And I think this is similar to Folsom. It's actually a river that gets wide enough, and they call it a lake. So there was current here and there as well. But leading up to the race, we just had a great time. And then race day was the same way. The morning we're getting to meet, we actually found something. There was one other U.S. team there. Other than that, that was it. But we met a guy from Canada that we were able to shoot the breeze with for a while, and a few other people that spoke English, but everybody's a swim runner. So it was a pretty cool thing.
That's
for sure.
That's awesome. And I'd imagine the temperature is probably a little bit cooler than you two experience in Texas and Florida.
Well, for this time of the year, for sure. But no, what we were expecting, we were thinking we were going to be cold. And that was, and the temperature was going to be an issue. And we both had shorty wetsuits and I had my sleeves on for the practice swim, but I cut them off for the actual race because the air temps were, it was in the 40s race morning, but got into the mid 60s during the day. And at that altitude, I guess the sun was closer. I don't know. We started at a mile high. That basin is at over 5,000 feet of elevation. Yeah. And then we did 4,000 additional feet, not all up, but up and down enough times that we were close to the tree line sometimes. So that was something. Like I said, it's only race I've ever had my ears pop on a run going up a hill. So
Chris, I have a question. So you guys come to these races. Do you do, what kind of prep are you guys doing in terms of studying the maps, race morning? Do you have your nutrition planned out? Do you guys have a big old plan, or is it more just like, let's see what happens, let's go have fun, just make sure
I'm going to go ahead and say we're a little bit more see what happens and have fun. But we definitely knew, we researched. I'm real big on, I don't want to run very long. Longest run, and when is it? When do I get to be done with it? But we definitely knew the course as far as where the big climbs were. We did miss the last one, I think. I don't know if we just didn't pick up on it on the paper. We thought we had a flat one, and it was not flat by any means, like he said. So that was hard coming in, but I knew where. You know, when I'd start a run, I would like, all right, this one's a 6-mile one. And I knew that, so I could kind of pace that. And we kind of knew, we basically knew we were going up and down every one. So you knew you had, if it was 6 miles, you had about three up and three down. I mean, it was pretty, so we knew that. So that part was all cool. But with me living in Texas and him living in Florida, we don't train together. We don't have, there's no way to kind of do that much. We just kind of show up and figure it out. So we're probably not the best of getting the tether on and off, but over the races and, you know, we've now done, goodness, what, five of these or so, four or five of these, we're getting to where it's a lot more fluid. And, but we know we're not going to win. We know we're not anything even real competitive right now, but that's the fun of just showing up and spending a day on the mountain.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like if you just take away like the trying to win thing out of it, super fun day.
Yeah, all around. Have a fun day out there.
Yeah,
longer out there, the better.
These are swim run adventures for us. Yeah. You know, we'll stop and look at things and say, look at, because there was, the views were amazing here. Like I said, you got a high enough up that there's no shrubs or trees in the way. You could see the lake down there and you could see everything and you could really enjoy the run. And I mean, Costco Bay was the same way, you know, getting on those boulders. We just took our time going over the boulders because it was fun. Running through the fort was cool. You know, Austin's the same way. We've done Austin every time it's been happened, and we'll be there this year again because that was really fun. That's short enough that you're not going to kill yourself. There's not a lot of altitude. The lake is clean and cool. And that's one thing I want to make sure I point out here, because I'm trying to get a lot of friends that are interested in this sport to watch. But while we're talking about these extreme races, all of them have a shorter version. Some of them even shorter than others, and they're excellent way. The Austin race is an excellent first time race for totally anybody agree. That wants to give it a try, especially if they want to go do the short course. But even the Otolo or Otello, whatever it is in California, the short one is a good one to start with. But they also have the one that's called Experience, which is even less. But I think most people that can swim and can run, you know, at least go for the sprint. Those are some good races. But like I said, Chris and I do it because of the extreme aspect of it. Yeah. But this sport is a blast. It's an adventure. It's not a race. There's a handful of folks that go out there to try to win the thing. The rest of us are out there to have fun. So that's the way we treat it. We'll race individually. But when we come out and do these things, we're doing it because it's fun.
Yeah, that's the best attitude to have, and you're never not going to have fun if that's how you're approaching it. So that's love to hear that, and that's the swim run vibe right there. No problem, no question about it.
Trademark it.
Yeah, nice.
Well, you're also asking about prep. You know, when we get into nutrition, we're not the greatest at planning that out either. We depend somewhat on the aid stations, but we carry our own stuff too, just in case. But normally these aid stations have been all we need as far as, you really can't carry much hydration with you. So you're going to have to depend on them for that too. We've got the collapsible bottles that we fill up and carry along as well. For most of the races, we might have could have used a little more on this one, as long as it was. But most of the races that we do, they're short enough that we can depend on the aid stations to supply us with all the energy that we need to make it through the race.
Yeah. During your training, because you both train in such hot and warm locations, do you feel that builds like kind of almost additional tolerance, even though you might not be as well prepped for cold water, for example, but does the kind of extreme heats that you do you feel that kind of toughens you up, calluses you in a bit?
Well, I'm going to say yes. I ran the other day and it was 109. I ran at 4 p.m. in Texas.
That's actual temperature, not heat index.
But I also, not to kind of tell myself, but I took it a different approach this year. For some reason, back in February, I started as challenge, and I don't even know where I got. I made it up, but anyway, I'm running a 5K every day to see how many days in a row I can do a 5K. Well, as we went into this, because I'm coming off an injury from last summer, so that seemed like a good way to get back going. And then I just don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
So when I was training, Rick was like, just do that. He goes, you're going to be running on tired legs so many days. Just do that. So I actually, from the 5 months leading into the race, didn't run more than 3 miles at a time. So,
wow.
But I seemed to be okay. I mean, I didn't have any problems with cramping or the hills or kind of anything. So it's kind of a different kind of strategy. I ran in heat. I ran in tired legs.
Yeah.
My injury, I thought was swimming, I thought was what hurt it. So I swam 0 yards going into this.
Wow. That's, that's impressive just from a confidence perspective, where you're just like, I mean, I'd be having like a panic attack, like, wait, I didn't swim at all for this thing and I'm going to show up. But
if you're tethering to Rick, he's just going to, he's gonna, like a dolphin, just pull you right along.
Good point. All I got to do is stay on his hill and he
Well, here, I'm going to tell myself now that we're talking about swimming, and second to last swim or the second to last aid station, I took my goggles and my cap and set it down and got my drink and got to talking. And you know, we're thinking, hey, we're almost done. Let's go. And we took off running without my goggles and my cap. Well, I wear contacts. I didn't have an extra pair for the rest of the trip. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to try this. So I go in and I'm trying to swim. And about 10 strokes out, I turned to her and said, I'm going to ask. So she did the last two swims without goggles. She just had to, I don't know what she did, be honest with you. She stayed back there and stayed on my tail, but she had to do it without goggles. Luckily that she was able to do that. So not only did she come in without a lot of swim training, but she also had to do it blind. So
that was a lot of heads up.
So I'm curious how that conversation went. Was it like,
I'm going to need those goggles.
Or was it like, hey, well, Rick is like, hey, Chris, I'm going to need you to lead the swim. And Chris is like, here, take my goggles.
Take the goggles instead.
No, let's be honest. There was no conversation of that I was going to lead the swim. It is very okay. When I mentioned earlier that one of us is stronger on the bike and one of us is a stronger swimmer, we know who the stronger swimmer is. It's a known fact. I think I can hold my own when I'm just in a swim race, but nothing compared to Rick. So we know we have a system. That wasn't going to be messed up. The conversation was, we ran up, I start putting my goggles on. He looks at me and he was like, he might've said an explicit and was like, I don't have mine. And without thinking a beat, I just said, here, take mine. You're the one that's got the sight. And he was like, no, I think I'll be okay. And I would have loved it if he would have taken them on shore. Cause what happened is, after those 10 strokes, now we're out in the middle of the water trading goggles because he's like, give me your goggles. So now we're trying, we got paddles on and I'm trying to take my.
Oh, yeah. The whole production. Off
and- so anyway, we got it done, but it definitely made for a fun story. I kind of think that we kind of skipped over some hiccups earlier in the race. So by that point, it was, we need to finish and we're going to finish. And whatever it takes at that point. And if that takes me swimming with my, you know, I'd close my eyes some, but then I would hit his feet. Cause you know, you're tethered.
Yeah.
And then, or I would catch the rope. I would swim. Oh, yeah. I would catch the rope with my paddles. Cause if he went kind of, so I had to have my eyes open. And so there was this whole like bobbing head thing going on back there and close
envision
it first.
A sore second. Neck in the morning.
Yeah.
In other words, she took one for the team.
But he takes one by pulling me all the other 4 miles.
Right, exactly.
Was the some of the lake or some of the water up there is off a mountain? Was it pretty chilly, or did you find it to not be an issue for y'all?
One spot.
It wasn't an issue. One spot we must have went by a little glacier inlet or something. It got real cold for just a few seconds. I'm thinking this might be a problem, but the rest of the time we were fine. Matter of fact, we were zipping down. I was zipping down to let the water flow through a couple of times, because we were been out there so long. We did see people coming off the course though, wrapped in blankets, and they had hot water. We'd come up and people would have their hands soaking in hot water, trying to warm up. So I don't know what we have. I mean, we've done Iceland. We did Alaska. Now, Alaska, we did get a little cold in that swim.
We did have a
glacier dump that got in the 40s. But well, we were still able to do it and be fine with it. And so I don't know why we kind of tolerate to the cold somehow, I guess. I don't know. We both
been You're like, usually swimming skins out there in Florida, so maybe have a you don't swim with the wetsuit on when I all those
well if it drops below 65 I do. Okay. I've got a 3 millimeter at 65 and then I've got a 5 millimeter at 60, and if it drops into the 50s I'm in a 5 millimeter wetsuit. Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of my times, I've got a current and a wetsuit. That's how I'm doing 101s for three, four miles. That's not me.
I appreciate you saying that, because these swims are amazing, just down the coast, going super fast.
In the Strava Club.
We'll put a link in the show note to Rick's Strava.
Some of Rick's more monster swims.
But even with the super fast pace, I mean, you're still doing it. It's like still like a 2 hour swim or something. Yeah. So it's impressive to hold like any pace that quickly for 2 hours, whether it's current assisted or not, wetsuit assisted.
Yeah.
And
well, I feel like that wetsuit's cheating, but it's fun. Makes it fun.
Hey, if you're welcome to come over to swim in San Francisco Bay with us, you'll be, I think the wetsuit will be invited.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to come over there, and there's a swim that starts on the mainland, goes around Alcatraz and back to the mainland. So that is definitely on the bucket list. I've got a friend that's in the military, a girl named Lisa that's stationed out there now. She wants to do it as well. So we're planning on coming out there sometime to do that swim.
Well, let us know. Yeah. We'll cheer you on from
the beach. We'll cheer you on from the beach. Go, Rick.
or we'll jump in when you're swimming back or something.
Yeah, we'll do a dock jump and then catch the last like 400 yards.
Bring you in.
Sounds great.
I love it. So you do this race. I checked the finishing results. It looks like you guys were the final finishers.
And you got a shout out from Otila's Instagram account.
Shout out from the main Instagram account. You guys,
we were treated like rock stars. I mean, from way out there, we're hearing them call our name, our actual names, our team names, the country we were from, and there were people cheering, and you'd have thought we just won the thing. I mean, it was they were probably cheering because now they get to go home, but it was great. That was probably the best part of the race. Best part of any race was finishing, I guess. But it was fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I was watching, or I was looking on the Instagram story, and they're like, final finisher. I was like, I think that's Rick. And I sent it to Chris. I'm like, I think Rick what's he doing at Inkenden? So it's so good to hear that Attila is celebratory of both ends of the spectrum, you know, that everyone is having a good time, whether you're fastest one across or you're just taking your time on the adventure.
Well, I have to say, I'm going to kind of tell on us, like, there was a moment in the race that I didn't think we were going to finish. So making it to the finish line was a lot more special than just normal finishing. We knew we wouldn't be fast. We knew we had cutoffs to make, but we definitely had a small hiccup. There was a moment where Rick started cramping. And once he started cramping, what do you do? Like, we didn't think he'd recover. And there was... we thought we were going to miss the second cutoff because of that. And I basically was like, well, you got to try.
try.
I mean, not to tell too bad, but we got done with one of the swims and he couldn't stand up in the water. Like, he fell face first, and I literally was pulling him out, and that sweet volunteer was looking at us like, do I come in and help? Or you got, because, you know, you could tell he didn't want to. He was in his clothes. The water's cold. But I'm pretty sure it didn't look very good. He's trying to grab onto me, but he's got paddles. So I'm getting hit in the head with his paddles. I'm trying to pull his face out of the water because right now he's face first in the water. It was just kind of one of those moments in life that you're like, we've gone from racing and having fun to like, truly, is this the
real
end?
Real stuff. Yeah.
Survival mode.
Yeah. And Rick literally said, I don't think I can go. And there's that heartbreaking moment that you're like, no, you can, you can go. But, you know, you have to understand that. So we took it easy for a moment, got him. And we're running into that checkpoint, and I'm pretty sure we were done, and we could see two teams at the checkpoint. So my thought is, oh, they've stopped them. Like, we've caught up to them and they've pulled them and we're all getting pulled. And Rick comes running up to the table and the lady's like, great job, guys. And we're kind of confused by that. And so he's like, we can keep going. And she was like, well, of course you can keep going. Like, we're like, we need to she's like, you're 20 minutes ahead. And we're like, what?
Oh, nice.
So then at that point, we knew we could take our time a little bit and get him recovered a lot more. So it did become a thing, but that's where the finish line became a lot more prized even for me. I mean, it was almost kind of emotional when they're saying USA and everyone's cheering. And, you know, 2 hours ago, I thought we were getting pulled and I didn't want, you know, there's one thing of traveling across the world to just finish a race. There's a whole nother thing to travel across the world and DNF. So I was glad that we, you know, like I said, it was a tough day. They were, so I don't want to make it sound like it was all hunky dory because it wasn't. But what I love about Rick and I is it doesn't matter who's hurting that day. It's just about kind of going back to that. It's having fun together. It's getting each other across the finish line.
Well, you know, previous guest of the show, Mario Feroli, Olympic running coach, he always says, you know, it's not about crossing the finish line. It's about how you handle the adversity along the way. And yeah, you guys handled it. You guys handled it. So in that respect, I mean, it's almost makes it more memorable. I would love your opinion as two super experienced endurance athletes. Like, we really think that one of the things that makes the sport amazing is this community, this finish line community. It all starts from the top, which is really Atala who started this thing, right? And I'm curious if you think like, hey, can we keep this? Can we jar this and put it in a jar and make sure that we preserve it for, you know, as long as the sport lives? Because, you know, an Ironman and all that stuff, definitely more dirt baggy than it is now. It's super corporate and it's kind of lost some of that flavor, which you still probably get at local races. But I'm curious what you guys think about, you know, can swim run keep this up and keep this vibe?
Well, I tell you, my concern with it, and I've told her from day one, we're bouldering, we're jumping off of cliffs, we're jumping off of piers, we're doing things that you'd never do an Ironman. Why? Because they're all lawyered up. And this sport is still young, and I'm afraid if it gets too big, it might get lawyered up. And then we might have some issues. But it has to grow some because we have not even a dozen races here in the U.S.
Yeah,
right? You know, thank goodness for, you know, Odyssey. And it was nice that Otolo came in and gave us a race. And I think North Carolina is done. And so I really do want this sport to grow. And that's why I want to point out to the people I'm going to try to push toward this podcast that they're a blast. And you don't have to take a bike, and there you can pack everything you need in a backpack on the plane, so you'll never end up at a race without your stuff. And there is a solo version, and feel free to do it, but that's not the sport. But I didn't say that.
The magic's okay. In the partner.
It's okay. I think anyone who listens to this show knows that we just want people to do the sport. If solo is what you got, that's fine. Right. But it's a team sport. That's the roots of it. That's how we like to race it. I mean, I've never even thought about doing a solo swim run.
It doesn't sound fun, honestly.
Doesn't sound like fun to me, right? But again, I've also only ever had one partner, and you know, so we have a very different kind of like
experience
and relationship with the sport. But yeah, doing it as a team, supporting your local races, showing up, I think is definitely what we need more of.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we've tried. We've traveled all over trying to give support to the local races. And like I said, we did then the North Carolina one, we did the one above Atlanta, Hanging Rock Park. And we did Costco. We've done Austin every time it's happened and out to California. And you know, it gets expensive too, though. That's the problem, especially now with airfares jumping through the roof. But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, like I said, we'll be in Austin this November, and so nice. I'm looking to see you guys.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
That's kind of cool for me because I'm on a triathlon team out of the Metroplex up near Fort Worth, which I don't even get to train with them. I live out in the country, so I'm on it out of the moral support and to get to meet up with them at races. And they've picked Austin Slim Run as one of their team events. So it's pretty awesome that I'm going to have some friends down there that will be their first swim run. So it's actually been kind of fun because I've been able to answer some questions. I've posted pictures. It's been really cool. So I know a few teams are already signed up. My triathlon coach and his wife are going to do the long course. One of my friends and her sister might do it together. So I'm actually pretty excited to almost kind of be like a veteran. And to me, I'm nothing that is nothing.
Well, this is every swim runner's job is to get other people in the swim run. So, you know, if you need to hold a workshop or whatever, you need some materials for show and tell, let us know. We'll put a box together for you. Because, yeah, I mean, that's how it grows. It's someone who has a positive experience, gets their friends involved. And, yeah, I love it. I love that so much that there's going to be a bunch of new people there.
That's great. There's also a couple people from Colorado reached out. There's about 30 of them from their gym. I don't know if they're a triathlon club or CrossFit or something like that, but they're all doing the Orcas race together. So this is the second kind of team thing that's doing a kind of a takeover on the swim runs. And I mean, you got to think, you know, if 10, 20 people do it, there's going to be a couple that, I'll do one next year too, because I had a good time or it was a totally different experience. And I know you've done a lot of triathlon and we have as well, but this would have been a really good race to like build a different type of fitness for triathlon that I think, you know, sometimes as triathletes, you're like, I have to only swim, bike, and run, and anything else is no dice.
Right, yeah. Or even if you are a fit triathlete, like, you can already do a swim run.
That's right. This is cross training.
Running, like, this would be
most
a good break.
You try. Well, last year's Austin, we were up a day early, and we were swimming out on the course, and we came across some triathletes that were out swimming in the lake, and so we told them while we were there and explained the whole thing, and they said they'd be back the next year, but we didn't get their names or anything to know triathletes are interested. It's just hard for them to pull the trigger. And you guys mentioned in a podcast before about don't stress over the equipment. That was one of your rules, and that's the issue. When people start thinking about, you know, a wetsuit that I'm going to run in and what shoes do I have to wear to be able to swim, you realize that in Texas and in Austin or in Florida, about a mile into any run, your shoes are soaking wet. So it doesn't matter. So we're used to running in wet shoes. And then they talk – everybody currently on the Facebook page, everybody's talking about that buoy thing between your legs. How do you swim without kicking? Well, if they try swimming in running shoes, they're going to realize the kicking is not going to help anyway. So those are the kind of things that I think keep some people from coming out is, you know, they got to cut up one of their wetsuits or buy a new one or whatever the case may be. And like I said, it's an addictive sport, and we love it because we don't have to take our bikes. You know, I talk about these trips. It's Alaska race. Getting them there and getting them back is bad enough, but you want to spend some time while you're there. Then you got to lug them around for a week in a rental car. And anyway, long story short, swim run is the way to go. And of course, swim run
Amen
over
that.
New York
is Rick Stamp of approval.
They have one every weekend over there someplace. And so
I do like my bike more than Rick likes his bike.
Okay. I was the best part about not bringing it. You don't have to ride it.
I mean, this is a safe space. This is a safe space. I also love my bike. it's fine. It's fine. Now, so you guys have done a bunch of races. You've done your first European swim run. What else is on the bucket list? What else do you guys? You guys want to do the world championship, or what do you think is down the road?
You have to qualify for that.
It's true.
You can apply on merit on the director's choice.
Oh, I need to get in touch with the director, huh?
Yeah.
You've already done the second or third.
Why won't get me in it?
Well, I tell you what, I promise you, we'll game for anything. But currently what we got working is Austin is really the only thing next. After that, I talked about her Fit for Adventure business. We're doing Grand Canyon, my wife and my sister-in-law and a couple of people that she's got signed up through her program are going to hike down into the canyon and spend a couple nights down there doing, I don't know if they'll let me swim in the river or not. We'll see,
there might not be any water in it.
Might be crawling in the river, but I think we got Vegas, one of those downhill marathons in Vegas.
The Revel.
They go try to qualify for Boston. I don't know if you guys realize it, that I'm usually probably one of the oldest ones out there on the course. I'm 63 years old, and so my Boston qualifying time's just barely under 4 hours. So I'm looking to go ahead and do that.
There's no excuse, man. Let's make it happen.
Get some of those big Nike shoes. They'll take you halfway there.
The super shoes.
Yeah, the super shoes will take you halfway
there. I do. I got some of those Vaporflies, and that's serious. They do kind of float a little for you.
Yeah, they definitely.
They might be good swim run shoes. Should we test them out?
Well, I like the Hokas because they're very buoyant.
Yeah,
a lot of cushion
too. I was like scorpion myself. They were so buoyant. But
well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I mean, when we found out that you guys were doing Engadin, I think it was on Strava. Rick, I think you posted something that was like, oh, last run before Engadin. I was like, wait, what? You're doing what now? What's going on? And we knew we wanted to have you guys on to hear how the adventure went. It sounds like it was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of emotions, but an amazing finish line experience. And I'm so, you know, if someone's going to go out there to be the U.S. ambassadors for Engadin, I'm super happy it was you guys. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And yeah, we'll see you in Austin, if not sooner.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Of course. All right. See you in Austin.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Cheers.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at the Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any suggestions for the show or questions for us, send us a DM or an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music and, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of all our swim run activities, podcast, and other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff. Way to keep it PG. Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Go for a run.
Then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then another run.
And then just keep going. Until you're done.
Until you're done. Or maybe can't stop.